Welcome to the Talking Security Podcast. We will talk about items related to Microsoft security.
Hi, welcome again. There are we with a new recording about the DevSecOps series within the Talking Security Podcast. So welcome back, Sander and Pooyan.
Hi there.
How is it fun to be online again with each other, not physical but virtual this time?
Yeah, it's a new experience. It's pretty fun. It's been a while.
It's been a while, but we have seen each other a few times in between within the last recording, isn't it, Will?
Yeah, of course. We hang out almost a week at the summit, of course, where we had a lot of fun. It sounds a long time ago, but I think it was a couple of weeks ago. It's not that far away. So yeah. We even mentioned it in our last episode. So yeah, it was really good. I don't know. What was the most notable that you can share from the summit this year?
I had dinner with Satya, you know, like we all had dinner with Satya. No, just yeah, what was the... I think like I last year. Oh, go ahead, Klaus.
Yeah. Now, for me, it was the first time, so the real experience to be at the Microsoft campus, that in total, that feeling to be there and to see everything, that the buildings, not that the buildings are so special, but in that buildings, the stuff that we work with, that it's there created, and that's seeing that, really great.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I feel like that was for me last year as well. Like for me it was the second year. And last year I was also really excited about the sessions, but I was also really amazed by the fact that that I was there, you know, and also the fact that last year everything was under construction. And this year loads of stuff was finished, of the new campus, new things were all built. And that looked so extremely good. Just for the listeners, we've heard that this is such a weird random fact, but I kind of shows you the size of what they're doing. It's like the biggest parking lot under the world, under the new campus. It's like, that's why. In any case, this year, I really wanted to focus more on like getting to know other MVPs and like getting to know lots of people from the product teams and stuff like that, which was really, really fun. So I talked to a lot of people as a developer. I talked to a lot of people from like the ASP.NET Core team and .NET MAUI team. And it's just really fun to connect with them. You really notice the amount of passion that people have for their work. Like I'm really passionate about software development, about technology, and I just really feel like, you know, I meet my people when I'm there, and that's something that when you're back home, you know, you're like, oh, I wish I was back there again. There's so much fun, so much fun people to connect with.
How was that for you, Pooyan?
Well, for me, it was also the second time. I must say the best part of being there is the jet lag. No, it's joking aside.
Was it Wendy's? When was it when we went to?
We didn't went that to the Wendy's.
That was the first thing we did.
Yeah, that was the first thing. We went to, what breakfast place did we go to, Pooyan? Which one was that again?
I don't remember. That was the highway side. Yeah.
Was it like... something with Denny's? Denny's?
Yeah.
Might have been Denny's. I'm not sure. For the Americans listening, we're sorry.
Yeah. It was lovely. But I think for me, but I think it was also for you, it was a lot Copilot. The effort Copilot. And definitely for us, France, the Copilot for security, of course. That what the team is doing, what they have been doing. I mean, we have been, of course, involved for a while in the private previews, but the effort and the changes that they have made since they started a couple of months ago until now, and the roadmap that they are planning to go to, I mean, that was a really, a big realization that like that Copilot is going to play a lot, definitely, also in our DevSecOps series, because I think we have also, of course, GitHub for Copilot, of Copilot for GitHub. I don't know what
yeah,
what
GitHub is. Copilot, GitHub Copilot, and you get GitHub Advanced Security, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see it everywhere popping up, and yeah, that's good to see. So I hope one day those Copilots will also be cooperating together. So then we will have a Copilot for DevSecOps, I think.
Copilot for Copilot, yeah.
Copilot for Copilot. So, yeah, and of course, what you guys said, seeing the old friends, old colleagues, and making new friends with the partner team, seeing the product team again, it's lovely. It's lovely. But here we are again, after being offline for a while, back with our DevSecOps series. We have had three releases until now. And today's session is going to be about testing, which is one of four pillar in the, if you look at the DevOps practices and the processes. And yeah, we are going to have a chat again, I hope. Let's start with what is it? What is testing? How does it fit in the whole process? And from there, let's see what products, what security risks are involved, what challenges do we see with our customers or with our community, and cooperate that together. And yeah, let's start with that.
I think it's good to have a short conversation. We're talking within the DevSecOps series, maybe starting with the dev environment, Sander. Can you elaborate a little bit about security within development?
Sure. So if we're going to be, security and development, it's a funny thing that you ask like that. Like, if we're talking about like DevOps, DevSecOps, and like testing, loads of things that we normally do is like, you know, running API tests, integration tests, snapshot tests, but really application focused, which is what we do in our pipelines. Usually we don't really do all that much security stuff. A little bit, maybe sometimes, like with Sonar Cube, maybe checking your code a little bit. Which I think we mentioned in the last episode, but we don't do a whole lot of security stuff. I feel like when we're talking about DevSecOps and like what is there to gain, I feel like doing security testing more in your code is something that a lot of people should start doing more. Like, we do Docker container scanning, and we do like maybe some API vulnerability scanning, just like code security scanning with package management. But I think we talked a lot about that last episode. I think there's a lot to gain.
Yeah. And if you make that step forward, Puyan, to see testing within DevSecOps, what does that mean with probably integrate some security testing within a continuous delivery or continuous integration CI/CD pipeline? And then Puyan.
Sorry for that.
All right, let's start over.
That's a good question, but I think it's also good to see, okay, why is it to define the testing? Because at the end, what we are trying to achieve is to go to a process where we can trust our workflow for finding the vulnerabilities or risks for us, or testing our application to see if it works as we expected it to be. Before it goes to production, so that we can have a lot of people working on small changes, for example, but trusting the process and the workflow. So testing is important in that case, that we know that all the changes are tested the same way, right? So that if developer one does some changes, it is tested the same way as developer two does the same changes. And for that, I think we have different layers as well. I think we talked about it before as well, Sander, like what you mentioned in the previous episode. We talked about a lot about Defender for DevOps, for example, where we do a lot of pipeline configuration testing, but also infrastructure code testing, right?
Yeah.
So because that's really also important.
Right? I mean, it's maybe more important than code testing nowadays. As in now currently, I think you're right. Like, doing code security testing is very important, but if you've misconfigured your infrastructure, like you're using like virtual networks or whatever you're using to security, you have a security hole there, that's maybe even more scary. Because if someone has access to your infrastructure, it might not be too difficult for them to also get in, like, access to your code and access to your code secrets. So I feel like, yeah, I think that's maybe even more important than doing the code security testing, maybe. Yeah. There's bigger mistakes, is what I guess what I'm going to say. There's bigger risks if you don't know what your infrastructure is doing and if it's secure or not.
Yeah. But if you are talking about testing, right? We are also talking about not only about security testing, right? It's also like with .NET, you have for each class, you can have tests. With PowerShell, we do what we call pester testing, like functional testing. Do you guys, because it do you guys agree that it's more than only security testing? It's also like the functional testing part as well, right?
Definitely. Like in the DevSecOps world, I believe there's a bit more of a focus on the security part, you know, because of the security integration stuff. But I feel like if you're saying, yeah, we're doing DevSecOps, you should be doing the DevOps part. And while DevOps doesn't really, I guess, include unit testing and testing and stuff like this, I do feel like it's an important part of going from development to operations that you know that your code works and that your application works and that works functionally. So having unit tests, having integration tests, smoke testing, and loads of those testing options, having them implemented. Yeah. So you know that what you are going to release is tested and will work.
Yeah. So then we are talking more on static application testing, right?
I guess. Yeah. You're just
more static code.
I think that like static analysis is, I believe, a bit more like SonarQube, like really testing the code, like testing the like what the code is doing. Like, hey, you're accepting user input here, and like 20 layers down in the line, you're like putting that in the database without validating it. You know, I think that's maybe a bit more static analysis, whereas unit tests or other application tests would be more like, hey, if I create a user, does it get inserted into the database correctly? You know, I think SaaS is a lot more security focused, but really, really interesting.
We have static application security testing, SaaS, and we have DAST, dynamic application security testing. What are the differences between them? And how can we use that?
So from my side, I think with SaaS, it happens more often. It is faster to do. It's static code scanning often. So you scan for certain elements. For example, I don't know, the code visibility. If there are certain elements in the code that are not right. And DAST, I believe it's more tested later in your workflow or your pipeline, and it also helps you to find vulnerabilities that you haven't thought about, for example.
I think so.
So it's more a black box testing instead of a static code. You know what you are going to test.
Yeah. So static code is something you run more in a pipeline, I suppose, like SonarQube. I'm not a big expert on it, so I think like SonarQube is one. I think Snyk, S-N-Y-K, also does like kind of scanning like that, I believe. And like dynamic is a lot like pen testing, right? So the application is running in the cloud, wherever it's running, and we want to test it. Like, hey, can we penetrate it? Can we do penetration testing and find our way in? That's a lot more dynamic application security testing, I guess.
You're talking about finding vulnerabilities within the dynamic application security testing phase, for example. How do we handle that vulnerability management within the test phase when we find some vulnerabilities, for example? Is that do we go back to the development phase and go back develop stuff and go ahead when we fix that, or do we accept that, for example, or what is the normal stuff like within the test phase?
That's a good point. I feel like if we're going to talk about the test phase, though, I feel like if we're going to really handle it like one phase after the other, I think with the previous few episodes that works, I think testing is something that keeps happening. Like even after it's tested and released, you keep testing it. So it's not something that you stop doing. That's a little bit of a nitpick, I guess. It's tough. I worked at a company where they were like, you know, if a vulnerability was found, like everything stopped, which is really annoying. At the other hand, I think it's a mix, right? If it's like, hey, there's a tiny vulnerability found, we can fix that next sprint. If it's something like log4shell, log4j, stuff like this that's happening, then you probably want to fix it right away. You want to like make sure that some ticket is created, someone gets called, I don't know, something automated so a developer can look into it and fix it immediately with a hotfix. It really depends on what you want to build, I guess.
Yeah, I have done in the past some integrations of Veracode into a workflow, but it's what Sander said. It depends on the, you can give it scores, right? Veracode does certain scans. Some are done. It's a while ago that I did a Veracode, but I know I can remember some of the tests were done on the build side, and some are done at the Veracode side. So the code is uploaded to their side, they do the scan and they result back. And then you have like the options, like, do you want to wait until the results are back, or you want to continue with your build workflow? Mm. And based on that, you can still say, okay, now break the workflow, return that to the PR, block the PR, and wait for it to be resolved. So I think similar to what we have discussed in previous episode as well, right? With Defender for DevOps, it has similar limitations. You can have test your code, yeah, because that's also code scanning, not on application side, it's more infrastructure side, but that also integrates back to your workflow or to your PR, and then blocks you or informs you from what to do or how to continue.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Veracode, actually. I thought it rang a bell somewhere. I was like at a conference a few months ago, and Neil Stanis, he's also a Microsoft MVP, and I'm just kind of looking him up. So he's a senior principal security researcher at Veracode. And that's, I guess, where I knew it from. And what he did is he gave a talk about like accessing NuGet packages with security scorecards, which is kind of like a standard thing that's happening now. I'm not the biggest security guy, you guys are, but that allows you to like kind of have like an official scorecard of your code or of NuGet packages or packages you're downloading. And I guess that could also be a testing thing, right? Like, yes, it's maybe more code related, but it's something that you want to keep testing for when your application is running. So every week, every day, you're testing like, hey, the packages that my deployed application is using, what kind of score, security score, does it get?
Yeah.
And I think that's something, that's, I guess, dynamic as well. I think that's something that's really, really useful. Because just saying, is my code secure? There's a lot more than, hey, is there a SQL injection? Or are my packages up to date? It's also like, do the packages under the hood, are they secure?
No. No. Is that something similar that GitHub is doing with Dependabot, for example, where you can define what functionalities, which DLLs, which libraries you are using, and it will scan that for you to see if there's any update or vulnerability, and based on that, it will automatically propose. I believe it even creates a PR for you.
Yeah, it can like, even merge them, I think.
Yeah, like there has been a new version. It is including some security bug fixes. It's completely, it's really amazing how they have done it. Because to go back to the, because yeah, it's a security thing. But from the other side, from my project, when we did that with the Veracode, one of the complexities was that it's a security thing, but you need your developers, right? You need to understand the application. You need to understand which language is written in. You need to understand the classes, the functions that you are defining, or the outputs you expect often, right? Because definitely if it comes to API code scanning, I mean, I believe you were there when we talked with the product team for Defender for API, how important it is and how much they are investing in the fact to see if an API has no ways to pass through what it returns or what values it accepts. But I mean, do you guys see that as development as well? Getting this question, or do you already build certain tests? Because it sounds as a functional test, but it's also security in that sense.
I think it's more security, like taking a look if your application, like, so to summarize, if I understand you correctly, also like telling, like, for example, Defender for API, Veracode, other products. And really analyze like, hey, this API kind of black box, is it secure or not? Or like, are there vulnerabilities, stuff like this? It is not really something that I put a lot of time into the development process, at least currently. I do think that there's a lot to say. For example, like you say, when you create a pull request, you want some checks to be done. And those in the DevSecOps world need to include security checks. But I think you also mentioned that, like, hey, we can go live, and at runtime, maybe tomorrow evening somewhere, then some security issues are discovered, and that needs to be put back into the development process pretty soon, so we stay secure.
So that's also because if we step to a different, what do you guys think? Whose responsibility should this be?
Oh, not mine. No, just.
There goes the developer.
It works on, the it works on my machine. Whose responsibility should it be? That's a really good point. I worked at a company, and then they really had like a dedicated like security officer, right? And then some security people, and they were always kind of in control of all of this. But that never really works. If there's like one person in control and other people don't really care or don't have to interact with it, and you're always pushing against the stream. I think it's really important if you're going to do DevSecOps, if you're going to focus on security, everyone needs to participate, right? Everyone needs to understand that security is important and be like, hey, there was a security issue. I'll start working on this tomorrow. You know, let's have a call. Let's have a look what's going on. Let's work together on this. I feel like if you're just going to throw it over a wall, it's not going to land anywhere.
I think that's the case. It's a joint effort within the company to deliver a package, a piece of software. When you do that, when you deliver that outside the company, it's a company effort. You as a company, you are responsible for the piece of code, for the package, and it's not only the developer.
Yeah, exactly. It's like security, like you said, Puyan, like security, if someone from security, the security team finds a vulnerability, like they can't really fix it, right? If it's like, I don't know, some weird C# code and they don't know C#, or if it's like 20 layers in software deep, you would need a developer to help you figure that out. So it really needs to be a secured effort. Like maybe in some teams, you would need to have like a security person in your team, or one security person for three teams that just kind of, you know, helps out and not create too many silos and islands.
Yeah, interesting. So security should be more aware and provide the solutions for using these platforms. And
definitely the infrastructure for it. Because I cannot create a secure environment, or I cannot create a space that I can guarantee will provide security for an entire company. That is not my specialty. I can definitely implement and fix the warnings, but I cannot set up the environment. And I would definitely need security people to help me set that up and then help me enforce those rules.
Talking about environments, what does Microsoft does in this area, Boyan? We have a few recordings back. We talked about Defender for DevOps. What does Defender for DevOps helping in a test scenario like this?
So yeah, we talked about it a little, and I think if we sum up this conversation that we are having now, there are multiple layers of testing, right? So we have testing, if you say DevOps testing, and we have testing when you have DevSecOps testing, right? So more security-related testing.
Yeah, definitely.
Security-related testing can be as simple as, is there a password, plain text password, in my application code, or to the libraries that we are using, or in the background, is there any vulnerability there? But also to go forward, like what we discussed with SAS, DAS, etc., like more functional driven and output driven testing. And I must say, if you look at Microsoft's, what provides is, of course, the Defender for DevOps. And I think we need to agree on that. It's really more related on the workflow, infrastructure, and configuration of your DevOps or platforms, right? Like GitHub or Azure DevOps. We have a GitHub Advanced Security, of course, a little bit more code scanning features, because they have also, like, you can do more with dependable, like the libraries that you are doing. But I think really, if you want to go more towards solutions that are doing functional testing to see if there are vulnerabilities, or you have like tests, I believe that Feracode has that as well. They kick off their application, so they run the application to see what it does in an environment. So for that solutions, from my understanding, there is currently no available anything available in the Fedora Cloud solution, or even not in GitHub, from my understanding, in GitHub Advanced Security.
Yeah, there's a bit of code QL that would analyze your code, like I talked about, like, hey, you get user input here, 20 layers down, you're storing into your database. But I think we're also talking a lot more about, like, hey, you're using a package that has like Log4j vulnerabilities. And I don't really know of any products immediately. We can definitely do some more research, right? So maybe we can put some in the show notes in the description if we find some more. So,
but definitely,
and otherwise, tell us about it. Am I right?
Yeah, let us know. But definitely, like platforms like Feracode, and Snyk. I believe Snyk is really doing a huge comeback, growing really fast. At the moment, they are doing a lot on that area at this moment.
To summarize a bit, Sander, you said already test is not definitely a separate phase. It is a separate phase, but you should use it in the whole sequence within development and creating code and testing stuff underway. So you're sure that when you deliver stuff, then it's tested in a good way, and that not everything is coming popping up within the test phase. They probably slow down the development process as well.
A slowed down. Well, sorry. So, what do you mean? Slow down the development process?
Yeah. If you only deal with in the test phase, and you need what I said earlier.
Ah, like I got you.
If you find a vulnerability, you need to go back develop again. And if you have incorporated the test phase a bit in your development process, then you are easier to go when you do the final test.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Like, yeah, I understand what you mean. Like, you don't want to like pull on the brakes the second you find the tiniest vulnerability. It's definitely also like risk assessment, right? Like, hey, some of these products we talked about, or whatever, a security person found some vulnerabilities. Are we going to stop and fix it immediately? Or is it something that we can fix in 2 weeks, right? Like, if it's some internal thing, does it matter all that much? It depends. You need to do risk assessments on that. But the fact is, even if you decide that you only do it 2 weeks later, it's better, even if you delay it for 2 weeks, at least you know about the vulnerability, which you wouldn't have known before. And I think there's a lot of things to win. And how you then apply it is, you know, you need to talk to your company and your teams about it.
Definitely. But any other things to add, Puyol?
Yeah, and I think what's important to say is that doing security testing in the test stage doesn't mean that your application doesn't end up with a security vulnerability in production.
Yeah, 100%.
So don't fully rely, like, my testing scores are, I mean, the picture is bigger. We will talk about this in the upcoming episodes as well, right? When we go to operations, what is important, how to monitor your application in production as well. So I think it's a piece when it comes to testing. Sander mentioned that as well, right? With container scanning or with code scanning or with API scanning. I think it's not only application, but it's the combination also. So take that in consideration when you are building a test. It's, even if it is about security testing, and misconfiguration can also rely to a security vulnerability.
Yeah.
And And to add on that, Sander already mentioned that if you're using other pieces of code or software within your package, then you rely on others as well, and you can do what you want to do. But if others have an issue, then you have it also.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Scary world out there.
It is.
Sometimes, but... We saw that with Log4j, for example, where a small piece of software can be a big issue in a lot of applications, packages, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it was like 2-3 weeks ago, and I just Googled it here. So the XZ Utils backdoor, that was a few weeks ago, and I still have some little tiny pies around the house that I'm like, oh, I might still need to update those. It's like, it just happened. Just because one person was like, hey, this is a little bit slower on my PC now. And suddenly he found a vulnerability that like tons of computers around the world have. You'd better, at least you should keep this stuff up to date and you need to know what's happening. So it's really important to apply this testing and DevSecOps so you know what is happening in your systems.
So I think everyone knows what to do now. And if not, you can contact us and we probably can help and give you some information about this topic. So don't hesitate to contact us if you have questions about this topic or within the DevSecOps series, all the other phases as well. Reach out to us. And if you like this recordings, because we're finished now for this time, if you like, please hit the subscribe button, ring the bell or whatever to see. And when we have we try to do it every month, every 2 months to do a recording. Sometimes we don't make that, but you will be informed about the new recording when it's coming online. I think that's good. And don't hesitate to contact us about next episodes. Do you want to join us? Let us know and we can move forward. So thanks for this recording, guys.
Thank you so much. It was really fun to do it again.
And then we're up to a new recording. And I think what phase will we be discussing then? That's the release, I guess.
We're going to be covering the thing that Puyon really wants to talk about. He really wants to talk about this.
Yeah. Let's do that. Okay, see you next time.